118th Psalm, the 118th Psalm. And as you turn to the 118th Psalm, we're going to be looking at two verses in this Psalm, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. If you were here Wednesday evening for our midweek Bible study, prayer meeting time, or if you joined us over the live stream, you heard me read these verses at the beginning of the Wednesday evening service. And I want to come back to those verses tonight. Father, I pray you bless your word. I thank you for what you'll do in my heart and in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The very center of our King James Bibles is the 118th Psalm, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, I'm not trying to have controversy about Bible versions tonight, but I don't know that this is necessarily the passage you would find in the center of other versions, simply because there are certain verses that are left out, or certain passages, especially in the New Testament, that are deleted from other modern Bibles. But in your King James, the middle verse is this eighth verse of the 118th Psalm. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. How appropriate that in the center of your Bible is that statement. I just want to take a simple look at these two verses tonight. The first thought is this: we need to do the better thing. You notice the beginning of verse 8 and the beginning of verse 9 are these words: it is better. It is better. I found it interesting that during the presidential campaign, the slogan that I saw more often than others concerning Joe Biden's campaign was "Build Back Better." And I think we've all heard him use that phrase, and that sign hanging behind him or on the podium before him, "Build Back Better." It was actually not his phrase, it was actually Boris Johnson's phrase, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, who I believe in addressing the people of England concerning the coronavirus made the statement, "We need to build back better," trying to encourage the people of England. He made those statements, I believe, in the months of April and May, maybe June. And apparently Joe Biden picked up on that phrase and used it as his own. And I thought to myself, you know what, if we're going to give credit, maybe we should not give credit to the Prime Minister nor to Joe Biden, but give credit to where credit may really be due, and that is right here to the Word of God. We can do better. We can do better. And what is that better that not so much Boris Johnson or Joe Biden speaks about, but what is that better that God, not a prime minister and not a president or a president-elect, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says? What is that better? Well, we need to do better in the sense of trusting Him. Again, you notice verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord. And the same thing is repeated in verse 9. We need to do better at simply trusting the Lord, especially in light of all the things that we continue to go through. And quite frankly, there appears to be no end to the things that we are currently suffering as a nation. So who am I trusting? That's the question. You know, I think it's normal for a people in the midst of a crisis to trust their leaders. Speaking of Boris Johnson, back many decades ago during World War II, God raised up a leader there in England, Winston Churchill, who inspired and restored a sense of trust for the British people that helped them overcome the Nazi movement of Germany and led them to victory. It's not unusual that God will work through men to help inspire trust, but the reality is our trust cannot be in men. Our trust can't be in men. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, and maybe if you have your Bible open, you can go back to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31. And if not, I want you to listen carefully to these words. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. It is better to trust in the Lord. And we need to do better at not trusting the political system under which we have had for centuries so much trust in, this democratic republic. We need to be careful about trusting those political leaders who help manage our system of government. We need to make sure that we do what the Scripture encourages us to, and that is to trust the Lord. Now, think about this. His way, God's way, is perfect. And I quite frankly don't know of any man's way that is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and because of that we can trust His book. And it says He is a buckler to all them, but with a stipulation, to them that trust in Him. You see the word buckler, and that's a small shield that if a man was right-handed, and he would bear the sword in his right hand and wear on his left hand that small shield, that round shield, that would defend him from the blows of an enemy soldier. And I got to thinking about this. Who is our enemy? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary or your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy tonight, and he will throw his fiery darts. He will take his weapons and try to deliver blows against us, if you will, fatal blows that would defeat us. And God has given us a buckler. Trust in Him through His Word, in a God whose way is perfect, that we can defeat those blows that for some would be fatal. We can overcome. Listen, when you think about all that we've gone through this year plus long political campaign season, Donald Trump would want us to trust him. Joe Biden would want us to trust him. The Republican Party would want us to trust them. The Democratic Party would want us to trust them. The Libertarians want us to trust them. And quite frankly, that's not the one we are to keep our eyes upon. That's not the one. Those people are not the one. That political system is not the one that we're to have our trust in. And sometimes I think God allows things to be shaken up to make us remember that our hope is not in men, and our trust is to be in Him. And quite frankly, that's the problem. God sometimes will bring people in that seem to better our lives and give us more security, and we begin to look at that individual as a savior of the economy, a savior of our political system. And we get our eyes on a man instead of keeping our trust in the Lord. And that can be a problem. And I'm going to be honest with you. No mere man can solve the problems that ails this nation and ails you and me. The Republicans' way is not the perfect way. The Democrats' way is not the perfect way. Joe Biden's way is not the perfect way. Donald Trump's way is not the perfect way. But we're told here that God's way is the perfect way. God's way is the perfect way. And we're told that God's word is a tried word that can be trusted. My brother, the Word of God has been tried through the fire and proven over the centuries. It reminds me of what we find in the 12th Psalm, the 6th and the 7th verses. There, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's word is tried. It's been proven. It can be trusted. And so you have a God whose ways are perfect. Now, you see me as a pastor. My ways are not perfect. You see other men of God, people that you might admire, people you might look to as men who have wisdom, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we are to be examples, especially those of us who are in ministry. But I think we all understand, when you get to know a man like many of you have gotten to know me, you know I am not a perfect man. But God is perfect. And God's way is perfect. And God's word that He's given us to tell us about who God is a book that has been tried over the centuries and has always come through the fire of testing and through the fires of purification. And this book remains pure. This book remains preserved. And you and I can trust it because it is a proven book that you can rest upon. So God's way is perfect. God's word is tried. And God will take His perfect way through His tried and proven book to give you and me the protection that we need. And He uses the symbolism of the buckler, that small shield that a soldier would use in hand-to-hand combat to defend themselves from the blow of the battle axe or from darts or from the blow of a sword. He would defend himself as he had the offensive weapon of the sword in one hand and that buckler in the other. It was used to bring defense. And God is saying, I want to be your defense. And I've given you a book that will be your defense. I want to protect you. But the protection comes to those who trust Him. Now here's the problem. We can with our lips say, I believe God and His way is perfect. I believe that God's word has been tried and proven through the generations and is worthy. And yet, how many times do we fail to use those things in the sense as a buckler to defend ourselves? And the way that buckler is put into practice is through trusting God's way, trusting who God is, trusting His word. And God and His word acts as that buckler upon our left arm to shield us from the fiery darts of our enemy, to defend us from the fatal blows that the enemy would try to render. But our problem, my problem, if not yours, it's been a problem for me at times. As I look at God's way, I don't always see it as a perfect way. Again, 2 Samuel 22:31, as for God, His way is perfect. And we say, wait a minute. I mean, if God's way is perfect, then why am I going through, and we can name a scenario in our life that seems confusing and seems to lead to a place of defeat. And we can make that argument and say, God, wait a minute. I'd be glad to trust in You, but Your way doesn't seem very perfect in my life. And You tell me, God, that Your word is tried, but I don't see it fulfilling its purpose in my life that I want it to. And God, therefore, I just struggle to trust You. You know what we've done? We've eliminated the buckler in our life. That spiritual buckler that can only be worn and used properly by trusting God's way and trusting that tried and perfect book of God's word. What do? We operate in our Christian lives as though the buckler was not there to defend us from the blows of the enemy. That buckler that is made as a defensive mechanism to shield us from those blows is simply removed because we don't do what these verses teach us. It is better to trust. It is better to trust. Now, if you want to go into a fight and not have that defensive weapon, good luck to you. But you're probably not going to survive the battle long. You're not going to survive by questioning whether God's way, His particular way for your particular life, is right or wrong. You're not going to go and make it when you are constantly saying, well, I don't know if I can rely on this book. I'm just going to make an assumption that people don't spend time meditating in this book, memorizing from this book, reading this book, studying this book, because they really don't see the advantage to their lives in trusting this proven and tried book. And if that's going to be our mindset, then we have just, in a sense, taken off of our arm that spiritual defensive mechanism, the buckler, that can only be applied through trust. And now we leave ourselves wide open with nothing to defend ourselves from the things that the devil will hurl into your path and mine. It only comes to those who trust that that buckler can be used to its fullest advantage. Now, I want you to think about Job 13, verse 15. Here is Job. And for the vast majority of his life, he has known God's extreme blessing. Why? Because he was a man who was like no other man on the face of the earth. And that's exactly how God spoke of Job. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? His trust level, his faith, his walk with God was second to none on all the face of the earth. And yet God allowed Job to come into a way that seemed contrary to his sanctified life. And he fell under extreme difficulties and trials. You know that he had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. They were all killed in the same moment. We know that he was a very wealthy man, and his wealth was destroyed in a day's time. And we know that his physical body was mutilated through sickness. And all these things befell him. And all of a sudden, Job had every right to begin to question whether God's way was really perfect. And yet we find these words from Job himself. Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, listen, yet will I trust him. Though God slay me, and that's what it must have felt like to Job to be going through all those terrible circumstances. It must have felt like God was killing him. God was destroying him. Job said, you know what? I have trusted God when things were going extremely well, when the hand of God's blessing was poured out upon me. And I'm not going to change my tune now that God has allowed these things to befall me. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, even when God's dealing makes no sense, here's what we ought to do. We ought to trust him. We looked at the life of John the Baptist this morning, and after he is thrown in prison, his ministry collapses. His popularity collapses. And something else collapsed. For a little bit, his trust. For at least a few moments, doubt entered in. Are you really the Messiah? Are you really the one that was promised to come? Or is it somebody else? Have I made a mistake thinking that you, Jesus of Nazareth, is truly the Messiah? That moment of doubt crept in, and Jesus dealt gently to bring John the Baptist back to that point of trust. I'm glad that God is gentle with us in these areas, but nevertheless, here's the reality for John the Baptist and for you and me. We've got to get back to that point. There are going to be moments where we lapse in faith, going to be moments where we doubt, but we've got to get back to trusting him, because when we don't operate in trust, we remove that defensive device, that buckler that God has given us, that spiritual device to defend ourselves from the attacks of Satan. And there's going to be plenty of things in my life and in your life that will not make sense. And quite frankly, the year 2020 makes no sense. And I know a lot of people, I've heard it again and again, can't wait till this year ends. Well, I don't know what awaits us in 2021. So I'm not necessarily anxious to get to the new year. But I can say this, no matter how turbulent this year has been, no matter how many things don't make sense, it is still imperative upon me and upon you to do exactly what Psalm 118 verses 8 and 9 says, the better thing, it is better to trust in the Lord. In Psalm 9 verse 10, David said, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Now listen to that last statement. Thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now, we normally don't have confidence in people that we do not know, do we? In fact, we would tell a child, if you have a little girl or a little boy, you would tell them, don't trust someone you don't know. Let's give the scenario, your son or your daughter is outside playing in the yard, you're watching them, supervising them, but all of a sudden you notice a car pull up alongside of the yard and the door opens and there is a man in the car and he is pointing to the child. He has a Snickers candy bar and a bag of M&Ms and a big lollipop, and he says, Oh, listen, I bet you would like these. Why don't you come over and sit right beside me and we'll talk and have a nice time and I'll give you these wonderful pieces of candy. You'll enjoy this. And you have stressed your child, listen, don't trust someone you don't know. If that's not grandma or grandpa or your aunt or your uncle or your parent that pulls up in the driveway and gets out of that car, don't trust anybody. Don't go toward anybody because you don't know them. And that's the point I'm trying to get across. The beginning of Psalm 9:10 says this, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." Well, listen, we don't put our trust in people we don't know. As an adult, I don't put my trust in people I don't know. I don't know their heart. I don't know their motivations. I don't know that they can be trusted. When I get to know people, sometimes I find out that, yes, I can actually trust that person. I mean, I give you just the simple scenario of when my wife and I met. We have now been married for 35 years as of November 29th. And I knew who Debbie Easterwood was. I knew about her because we went to the same university. She was in the academy part of the university, and I was in the university portion of it, and we saw each other every day, so I knew she was real, but I didn't know her. Ended up working at the church that she had attended for many years. Eventually became a staff member there of that church, Belmont Baptist, there outside of Atlanta. And again, I knew who Debbie Easterwood was, but I didn't really know her. But once I got to know her, to spend time with her, something happened. I put my trust in her, and I gave my life to her. I would not have given my life to her if I did not trust her, and I would not have trusted her if I hadn't gotten to know her. Listen, it's just that simple. Here's the problem. One of the reasons that people don't trust the Lord is we simply don't know Him. Because we're often seeking Him on a daily basis. And it makes perfect sense that you wouldn't put your confidence in someone you don't know. So here's the challenge. Get to know God. You say, "I'm already saved, Pastor. I didn't ask if you were saved." I'm asking you and encouraging you to get to know God more than just as a Savior, but as a friend and as Abba Father, Papa, who dearly loves you, His child. He wants to get to know you and you to get to know Him, and that only happens when you spend time with Him. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. You get to know who God is and how wonderful He is, you will trust Him. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So are you seeking him to get to know him more and more? I think of Proverbs 3, very familiar verses, verses 5 and 6. You all know them. Most of you can quote these verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're called on to trust in the Lord with how much? Most of what we got? No. Just a portion of our souls and our hearts and minds? No. He said, I want you to trust me with everything. Trust me with all your heart. And then an important phrase in that verse, and lean not to thine own understanding. Here's a problem. Many of the things that God directs us into, we have no idea as to why he's put us in the middle of those situations. Many of the things that we find ourselves in make no sense to us. And if we lean upon our own understanding, we'll forsake that way. We'll forsake the God who placed us in that situation. And so we're told, don't trust me half-heartedly, and don't reason within your own understanding of the way things ought to be. Instead, you trust me, don't lean to your own understanding, and in every aspect of your life, acknowledge me. Confess me in every aspect of your life. Those things that make perfect sense, those things that make no sense at all, those things that seem to be a perfect blessing, and those things that almost seem like a curse at times, you trust the Lord, acknowledge him, confess him in that particular portion of your life. Because without it, we'll go our own way. In the New Testament, we find these words in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Now listen to this. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Those who truly learn to trust God learn to labor on for him, even in meager times, even while suffering reproach. Now listen, that is genuine trust. That's an amazing verse when you think about it. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Because of trusting in the living God, we could put it this way, I'm suffering. You say, well, now, wait a minute, if trusting in the living God is going to bring me suffering, then maybe that's not the one I want to trust. But folks, there's no one you could better lean on than him. And though standing up for and bearing the name of Christ sometimes causes others to come against you, and the world sometimes to hate you, there is no one better that you could trust in than him. Even if it does cause us to suffer reproach because of belief in that name. Can I ask you this question this evening? In whom are you trusting? I bring this thought tonight because when we go through a political campaign and we go to a ballot box and we vote for, you know, some official, whether it's a local official here in the county or whether it's a state office or whether it's a federal office, sometimes if we're not careful, our focus becomes on that individual. They are the ones that can deliver us. They are the ones that can resolve the woes that we think plague us. And the reality is they can be instruments in God's hands. And I do think that, again, it's of my personal opinion that a Christian should vote, that they have that responsibility since we are citizens here. But that ultimately, while God can work through an individual and we ought to do what we can to place the most reliable person in office, the one that would go after more core biblical values, I'm in favor of that. The reality is, our confidence can't be in a man or in a political party or in a political system. Our confidence has to be in the Lord. We should never put our confidence, as verse 8 says, in a man, and we should never put our confidence. He uses the word prince, but we could easily replace that with the word politician. Why? Why should we not have confidence in a man? Confidence in a politician? Because they're flesh. They're just flesh. I think of 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh. Quite frankly, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are just men of flesh. They're prone to failures. They're men of fault. They are men like every other man, just like me, who have a sin nature. And their way is not always perfect. And God warns us, don't put your confidence in a man and don't put your confidence in a politician, in a prince. Don't do that. But you keep your trust in the Lord. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us, the people of God, is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. He's there for us. And whatever battles lie before us, whatever battles lie before us as the people of God and even as a nation, our trust has to be in him. Now, I don't expect a lost man to think this way. And quite frankly, I fear that there are a lot of Christians who are just living a nominal Christian life that won't even consider this. But for you, it ought to be different. For you, your trust needs to be in the Lord. Let's read those verses one more time as we close. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Folks, we get confident in certain people. And what many times happens is we get confident in someone and then they disappoint us. There's someone who will never disappoint if we believe him that his way is perfect, even when that way sometimes leads us into trials and suffering. He has a book that helps explain his way to us that's been tried and proven, purified seven times. It's the Word of God. He gives us that book and he gives us his Spirit to be that defensive spiritual device to defend us from the blows of Satan. It's that spiritual buckler that is used, if you would, and made effective in our life by trusting him. It is better to trust in the Lord than men or princes. And I trust that you will keep your confidence in him and his word and trust him every step of the way. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for what we've heard from your word tonight. And I've spoken to your children tonight and asked that it would be an encouragement to them. And I would ask, Father, that you would even bring conviction and encouragement to even memorize these two important verses that you place smack dab in the middle of your holy word. I also pray for anyone tonight that might be watching that does not know you as their personal Savior. You are worthy to be trusted. And Lord, no man can know the joy of heaven, know the joy of forgiveness of sin, without putting their trust in you. And I ask tonight they would recognize their sin, would confess their sin, would turn from it, repent of it, and make the choice to put their trust in the work that Jesus Christ did on Calvary, believing that you died for their sin, that you shed your blood with the purpose of cleansing sin with that blood, that after your death, you rose 3 days later from the dead, and you are alive today interceding for people. I ask that they would just call upon you to be saved. That right now, there in their homes, they would just cry out to you and ask your forgiveness of sin and put their trust in you, believe you for salvation. Now, Lord, I pray you just give your people a great week of trusting you and using the buckler to defend themselves from the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we'll thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. I look forward to seeing our folks here for a Bible study prayer meeting here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Good night. You have a good evening.